Hey y'all, welcome back to What Would Cherick Do?
A Choose Your Own Adventure podcast. My name is Eric.
And as always, I am Chad.
And per usual, we are your hosts here for this excellent podcast. Super excellent.
Super excellent.
We're feeling really good today and super excited to be bringing more Choose Your Own Adventure stories your way.
I gotta tell you, I'm so pumped about this book.
You know, when Chad read me the title of this book, like, my face just lit up because it's like no other adventure story we've read so far. Or at least that's what I think from the title. So
from the we have no idea.
Exactly.
Actually, per usual, we have not read the book ahead of time.
Certainly not.
We're doing it live with y'all.
Absolutely. And so how it's going to kind of work is we're going to read it. And then we're going to get back on the air with you and summarize things because we don't want to get sued for copyright infringement, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah, and then we'll get to the choice. And Eric and I, as
Cherick,
will come together and debate the choice and decide where we go from here.
And maybe die, maybe not.
Probably,
but
with this book,
you all know this already.
You've listened.
Unless it's your first time, in which case, welcome!
Yeah.
We're glad you're listening.
If it is, if you're just dipping in, like, you should definitely go back.
That's true.
And
we have some good podcasts.
There's a couple that have really stuck in my craw.
We think they're pretty good. We think they're funny.
I laugh at
and
them.
And since we have the best senses of humor out there, you should probably just agree with us.
I don't know if this is a weird thing, Eric thinks it is, but I listen to my own podcast probably more than I listen to anybody else's podcast.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, so, Chad's like, I just listened to episode 4 again yesterday, and I'm like, what? I edited that thing and was done.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So I like it, clearly.
Okay, well, all right. Chad, since you're so obsessed with these books, would you just tell us, like, what got you into them? Like,
yeah, well, I grew up reading these books as a child. So I had several of them that I owned that I read through my elementary school years. Mm. And I just really grew to love them. And they're so great. They're full of rich, just like descriptive text.
Definitely, yeah. Just characters imbued with true morality and just really fascinating background.
Yes. But Eric, how about you? Like, I have, you know, grew up with these, but
well,
how did you get in?
True,
get
I mean,
choose your own adventure?
I would say that you have a fairly, you know, normal way of coming around to these books. My first experience was in my late teens when I was train jumping. I was actually headed into Phoenix by way of New Mexico, and I don't know if you know this, but New Mexico's really freaking long, and on a train it just takes forever to get through there. So
I can imagine.
The great thing was, though, on this particular trip, the boxcar that I happened to jump into, there was a lonesome hobo in there. Super friendly guy, just great. He's been, you know, traveling the country for a long time. You can kind of, you know, you could tell.
Do you remember what his name was?
Oh, sure. His name was Fred.
Fred. Oh, cool.
Fred the lonesome hobo was how he introduced himself. And he offered to shake my hand. I did it, even though I didn't really want to. Well, you know, he had some, like, kind of sketchy gloves on, had his little, you know, what am I trying to say, scrunchy, not scrunchy.
Like the guy in The Lost Jewels of Nabooty?
Kind of, yeah, yeah, he just didn't have clean fingers, you know, as lonesome hobos do.
Yeah.
They don't
have access to
for
all
sure.
those
you
things.
You know, like, there wasn't a sink in that boxcar, it would have been super nice. Toilet either. So got to know Fred the Lonesome Hobo. He had a couple of these books in his pack. Apparently he carries them with him anywhere he goes. So we read a few of them, and I actually got really into him, and I thanked Fred for my time with him going through New Mexico. He really kept me entertained, made some hefty choices, but haven't read this particular book.
Great.
Yeah.
I love
it. So this is going to be wonderful.
Man, and I just love hearing so much about your kind of rich history with these texts that you've kind
of
come.
I really hope that Fred's doing good.
Like, come in and out of your life throughout the years.
Yeah, it's been a
you have a real adventurous life.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, enough about my backstory. The title of this book.
Before we get into the title.
Okay, just kidding.
Let
folks.
Me give you. Okay, just real quick. Facebook, Twitter, iTunes. Please follow us. Rate, review.
You interrupted me to plug our podcast?
Well, because I don't want to, like, break the flow of the book. I want to get in. I'm really excited about this.
You just want to break the flow of the opening.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Well, that's fine.
But this is important stuff. So if we want to get this going, if we want more people to hear about our podcast.
All right. It's important.
Yeah. So it's important. At Cherry Podcast, Twitter, Facebook. Find us on iTunes.
For sure.
Great review.
If y'all ever want Fred to come and guest star on our podcast, you should make it a big thing. I'm just saying.
Oh, also, if you know Paul Rudd, tweet him right now.
Yeah, because he's not getting back to us for some
reason.
We've
reached out.
Man,
on multiple
we released
occasions.
That third episode like a month ago, and he hasn't said a
we
thing.
We have heard nothing.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. If you know him, we have a book lined up to read with Rudd.
The perfect book.
The perfect book. The one that will give me so much closure.
Yeah. Yeah. So
we can't get into that now.
Yeah, we'll get into that later when Paul Rudd comes on our podcast. We are running super long here in this opening.
What's the name of the book?
The name of the book, folks. We have kept you in anticipation. I hope you're excited. This is Choose Your Own Adventure number 33, Blood on the Handle.
Burm, burm, burm.
By R. A. Montgomery. Just a super different title than we've seen so far. Blood on the Handle.
I hope this is like a great murder mystery.
I'm really excited. Just the cover of this book looks really intriguing. I'm not gonna spoil it for all of you, but it's something special, folks. So I suggest we just dive in here.
Yeah.
Chad and I will join forces and conquer Blood on the Handle as
Jerick.
I love this book so much.
I mean, what an opening. I don't think anyone has grabbed me quite like this. And let me tell you, I read 6 pages, but I am in.
I'm so invested.
Okay. Let's give you some details here.
Yeah.
So, we, as
Cherick,
live in our Uncle Morgan's house. And his house is isolated on top of a small hill down in New Orleans, Louisiana. It's enormous, it's beautiful, and it's called Swan Song.
Cool. Great name.
Sadly, about 6 months ago, our parents died in a mysterious accident in the Bahamas. No, wait. Yeah.
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 It's
the Caribbean. Bahamas, Caribbean, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, since they passed away, we've been living with our Uncle Morgan in his house. And he's got like a handyman, Hank, and Maxine, the maid, who's really nice to us.
Yeah, we like Maxine.
And we actually really enjoy it there. Uncle Morgan's gone a lot on a lot of strange trips around the world, which sometimes we get to go along with him, but not usually. But here's something interesting. He's always inviting these strange foreign people over to his house in these strange foreign cars, and he just kind of keeps them locked in his book line study, and we just don't really know what it's about. It seems super sketchy. And we one time joked about him being a spy, and he didn't think that was very funny. So it's definitely a little strange.
He probably is a spy.
He probably is, yeah. He's probably doing some important things. So anyway, one day on our way home from school, the bus drops us off at the end of the mile-long gravel driveway.
Mile-long.
Like, we have to walk 20 minutes to get up to the house.
So every day we walk 2 miles.
Every day. I mean,
we
are fit.
Yeah.
Cherick is rocking it.
Yeah.
But immediately this day, we can sense that something's wrong. Something's afoot.
Yeah. The books, there was that solemnity.
Solemnity.
Yeah.
Yeah?
It was solemn. There was a heaviness in the air.
Yeah. I feel like I've never read this word before. I came across it, and I don't know if, I feel like I was like, ooh, did I pronounce that right?
I feel like as a writer, you should probably know that word.
Hey, why don't you just be quiet?
Ooh, parting the kimono. Sorry.
Yeah. Hello, I am laid bare. pardon that kimono.
Sorry.
So we're going to put that kimono back.
We try not to share personal details on this podcast.
Sometimes we fail.
Okay.
Anyway.
Back to the action.
Yeah. So there's a solemnity in the air. And we, like, everything's louder than usual, and it's just really eerie and creepy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we get up there. We notice a strange foreign car in the driveway.
There's a drawing.
There is a drawing
of this car, and it's a Maserati.
Oh, solid work, Chad.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's good detective work.
I can tell by the emblem on the front.
And it's and this Maserati is next to Uncle Morgan's Jaguar X358. Just so you know, like that's really important detail. And we say, oh well, whatever. It's just one of Uncle Morgan's weird friends that we don't get to know anything about.
Right.
So you know, we go into the house. We call for Maxine. No one's there. Hank isn't there. We're kind of creeped out. We go slowly toward the study, the book-lined study, and the door is cracked. And so we're like, Uncle Morgan, you know, it's me. I'm here, not wanting to interrupt anything super important and get in trouble. And what do we find when we open that door, Chad?
Blood.
Blood!
Everywhere!
So much blood. Everywhere. On the walls, on the sofa, on the floor, on the large daggers sticking out of the oriental carpet on the floor.
On the handle of the dagger.
Shimmering in fresh blood.
Okay, here. This is, I feel like, an important fact for us, Cherik.
Okay.
The dagger was a Nepali dagger.
Ah, a Nepali Kukuri dagger.
Right. So, since we're a time-traveling warlock...
It must have been a Yeti.
We've been to Nepal.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is some straight-up Yeti shit.
Revenge.
Happening Yeti right
revenge.
Now.
Evil Yeti revenge.
I'm a little unsure if we, Cherik, in this book are a Yeti or not.
Do you think that this means that we decided to leave Shangri-La?
Potentially.
Wild.
So go back and read episode 2.
Well, don't read it.
Read it.
You can listen
read
to
it. And listen to it.
Okay, do both.
Do both.
But, or don't do either. Or do both.
I don't really care. I just feel like this is really important.
For Cherik, it's definitely like...
For Cherik, this is like
background
a key
detail that
background
is actually
detail
kind of could be important.
Could be important for us in decision making.
Yes. And since we are a time-traveling warlock, we know this. We're like, ooh, it could be...
That government official.
Could be...
I hated that guy.
That guy that monsooned us. Anyway, so terrifying. There's a bloody dagger. And it's one of the unique daggers from Uncle Morgan's vintage collection. And we can see it's missing from the case. Like, it's obviously one of his daggers. And then we hear two car doors slamming shut. And we duck to the window. Dunk, dunk. Yeah, good work.
Thanks.
Good work, Chad. That was nice.
Let me do the sound effects.
Perfect.
Okay.
And we catch a glimpse of Uncle Morgan's ashen face against the back window as the car drives away. This is the foreign car. This is the Maserati driving away with Uncle Morgan's face in the back. Oh, solid.
Thanks.
We don't know if he's dead or alive. Okay. But quickly, we don't really take time to think about this, right? We go straight to the garage for our birthday present that our Uncle Morgan got us last June. And you don't want to know what it is? Good, because I want to tell you. It's a Kawasaki S2350 motorcycle.
Hells yeah.
And so we speed out of that garage, and we whip out of the driveway, and we're kicking gravel up in the air, and we're accelerating around sharp corners at 75 miles an hour, which is way too fast, and we're probably going to die. But thankfully, we don't. Until we see a car coming up behind us. Now, this is Uncle Morgan's Jaguar. And we check our rearview mirror and see two men that we do not recognize in the car. One of them holding a weapon outside the passenger window, aiming it at us. So we're in the middle of some deep shit.
Yep. Per usual.
So this... Folks, exactly. No surprise here.
Maybe if we would have given up our curiosity.
No. I will not ever regret that decision, Chad. So many inside jokes.
Go back and listen to the other one.
Just listen to everything or else you're not going to understand half of this podcast.
That's okay.
That's an exaggeration. Okay, here's our choice. If we give up the chase and escape from, you know, possibly getting shot, turn to page 17. If we accelerate and continue our pursuit, turn to page 20. Chad, how lucky do you feel, punk?
Here's what I'm thinking. I feel lucky. Do you? I do.
Do you?
Do you feel lucky, punk?
Do you? Do you? This is what will be for the next 20 minutes.
Yeah, so just this 20 minutes us.
You can fast forward if you want.
Yeah, just skip a good 10 minutes in.
Do you?
Anyway, I think we should abandon the chase and go back.
You think we should not get shot?
Here's my thought.
Okay.
There's a lot about our Uncle Morgan that we don't know.
Definitely.
These two guys driving his car.
Yeah.
There were two cars there.
Yeah.
The Maserati.
Yep.
Uncle Morgan's car.
Yep.
My theory is that they work for Uncle Morgan. And they're also chasing after these guys. Not us.
Interesting. Okay.
Like, I feel like they're Uncle Morgan's, like, goons.
Okay. Why would they take his car, though?
Because it's the fastest one. Like, they're chasing a Maserati. Those cars are super fast.
Okay, all right.
It's the best equipped to, like, catch up.
Okay.
We're on a pretty sick dirt bike.
That's true. They probably got skills, so we can, like, serpentine that and be fine.
But, I mean, it's getting a little out of control.
Like, so you think that we should just, you know, cool it and let the professionals just, like, do their thing?
Well, I think we should go back and, like... back to the house.
Okay.
And like, and I hope that's where this choice leads us. It's like, we disengage and decide to go back
and
home
do some good old investigating
to like see if we can find Uncle Morgan.
Okay. Well, but Uncle Morgan's in the car.
What?
Uncle Morgan's in the back of the car that we're chasing. That's why we're chasing it.
Oh, we saw his face in the back of the car?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, dang, Chad, even summarized that.
I missed that part.
Okay, well, just in case I summarized it extremely poorly.
I feel like it was just like in the window of the house.
No, Uncle Morgan is in the window of the foreign car as it drives away.
Oh, that might change my whole thought.
Oh, man. See, like, I am all into this chase. Like, I really want to know what's happening to Uncle Morgan.
Yeah. Oh, me too. I just thought he was back at the house.
No, here, let me double check, but I'm pretty sure.
No, I mean, I'm sure you read it. I'm sure you're right.
Okay, here's what it says verbatim. I'm going to quote the text. You think you catch a glimpse of Uncle Morgan's ashen face against the back window. You don't know whether he's dead or alive, but apparently we're fairly certain
that it was him.
That it's him.
Where is Maxine? Where is Hank?
These are all good questions. I am more than excited to not get shot in the back of the head and turn around and maybe answer some of these questions.
I don't feel like we're going to die on this choice.
Leaving the chase.
Either way.
Oh, okay. So maybe you're thinking, let's see how this chase goes.
It's a little bit too early to get an ending, if that's what you're worried about.
Well, no, I'm not necessarily worried about that.
Oh, I guess we have made like one choice and died before.
I would not put it out of the realm of possibilities for these books.
I mean, I'm struggling. I mean, I was pretty into like disengaging and like going back to the house, but I could see your point. Like, if Uncle Morgan's in the car,
I mean, if he needs our help, man, and if these people are not his bodyguards chasing after him, which I feel like if Uncle Morgan had bodyguards or goons around him, we would know that.
We would have seen them.
Yeah.
Probably.
Like, we would be aware of them around the premises.
We have only been there, like, 6 months.
That's true. But he's come and gone pretty frequently. I feel like it would be really hard to miss two goons. Especially if their job is to protect him. Like, they would be around him.
True.
They would at least be on the property. We could look out our bedroom window and see them down there, you know, jamming out, smoking cigarettes by
the
car.
Maybe these were the guys that took care of Max and Hank.
Maybe. Here's what I want to know. Who's been stabbed? Is it Uncle Morgan?
It's Uncle Morgan.
Yeah? You think it is in the back of the car? So see, I think we got it. I think we got to chase after him.
I think that's what RA would want us to do.
You think so? I just feel like I feel like I'm in the heat of the chase and I really want to keep going.
I was really into this chase.
Plus, I mean, you've seen tons of movies. Can we just be legit here? People who fire firearms out of the sides of car windows, it's just not effective.
It is not.
Unless it's an Uzi or maybe a grenade launcher, but it doesn't specify.
It just says
a weapon. For all we know, it could be holding a spatula out the window. You think, right? Maybe?
Maybe.
Probably not.
Maybe.
But we don't know.
Let's stick with it. Let's give Chase. But I want you to read it.
Okay. We will give Chase, and I will continue reading, folks. We are turning to page 20.
So much happened. I'm so into this.
Quite a lot happened.
This is like Taken.
This is like Taken 4. I mean, this is a strong act one.
Yeah.
Like, I am into it. So, like, we made a good decision. We're barreling down the road, chasing
good
after this card. Yeah.
By the way.
But yeah, good call. Solid first call.
Yeah.
Going great so far. And so, like, behind us, we hear this enormous explosion and crash.
Yeah.
And we're looking in our rearview mirror, and those idiots totaled that Jaguar. We didn't even have to worry about them.
Yeah, they wrecked that car.
And so, like, we keep speeding on our merry way and, like, catching up to that car like it's nobody's problem, which it isn't because we're awesome.
Yeah.
And suddenly a big gray, like, bundle flies out of the back window.
Immediately. And we, like... So Eric's reading this text, and I'm, like, screaming. I'm like, it's Uncle Morgan!
Oh my gosh!
There's an illustration! It's Maxine!
Yeah, he's like, oh, there's a girl standing there! It's gotta be Maxine! And I'm like, shut the fuck trying to read the story here, man! But anyway, with our sweet motorcycle skills, we, like, brake and turn the Kawasaki, like, perfectly and miss the bundle. And we slow down, and we run back to it, and all it is a bunch of bloody pillows from the back of the car.
They fooled us.
The person who was stabbed is definitely in the back of that car, and it seems to definitely be Uncle Morgan.
Ooh, I didn't make that connection.
I mean, if they're bloody pillows, right?
Somebody is bleeding.
Someone is, and I'm just guessing it's the person who was stabbed, but maybe not. So, we catch back up to the car.
Yep.
Construction, like, slowed them down, we get back up there, and then they start shooting at us. So, like, they're firing back at us, they shatter our left mirror on our Kawasaki. Curse them.
That is a knife.
Yeah! Shards in our arm. And then they pull right over and get out of the car with their hands up. And it's a man who's well built and a woman who we have never seen before. And they both step out, put their hands in the air to show us that they're not armed, and they want us to come over to them. And we're like, whoa, they were just shooting at us.
Yeah.
And now they want us to just come over to them in open arms. Now there's also...
So now I run to you.
With open arms. Nothing to say. Yeah. So hide,
something
say.
Hide? I don't
yeah.
Remember.
Okay. So we know our journey really well. It's good.
Thanks.
It was a solid start there.
Okay, so, but also we noticed to the side, there's like this like side access road.
There is an access road.
So we could like ditch and take this access road.
So if we decide to run to them with open arms and risk finding out what they want, we turn to page 27. If we duck down the side road, we turn to page 38.
I'm curious where your head's at.
I just feel like these people are stupid. Like, do they really expect to shoot at us and then for us to just come right over?
I don't know. Like,
I just,
they just shot at us.
They just did.
Like, just.
Yeah, like, in the same paragraph, the firing stops, they pull over, hands up, WTF.
Right?
Like, oh no, I'm sure you don't have a gun stuck down the back of your pants. Or, oh no, I'm sure you don't have a thigh holster.
Or there's not a third person in the back seat waiting to shoot at
us. Straight. True.
True.
Yeah, no, I don't think we can trust these people.
Okay. I'm going to throw this out there.
Please do.
I'm eating some Dove chocolates, as you probably know, but our listeners don't.
Yes. What did this one tell you?
To embrace optimism.
So what you're saying is, Dove sent you a sign...
Mm-hmm.
Saying that we should embrace the people who just were shooting at us.
Like, embrace the fact that they won't shoot at us again.
To, like, trust them. Be optimistic in the mm-hmm. thinking that they're actually wanting to not kill us.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. This is just a Dove chocolate.
Right.
But
so, like, if you hadn't been in the mood for a little bit of chocolate, we wouldn't have got that nice little tidbit there.
I mean, it could be a sign.
So you think because you did have an inkling for
like
a little bit of chocolate.
I had an inkling for a little bit of chocolate.
And it just happened to maybe be relevant.
And it's relevant to the decision.
Okay. You have convinced me, but I warn you, if this goes badly, I'm not going to trust another sign from Dove.
Okay. That's fair.
All right.
That's fair. I'll read it.
I'm willing to.
Do you want me to read?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's only fair. You should probably take a turn.
Dove gave me the sign.
All right. Okay. All right. We're gonna be whimsical here and go with the sign that Dove sent Chad.
It seems like a good enough reason.
And we're gonna risk finding out what they want. And turn to page 27. I cannot wait to figure out what is going to happen to us. Chad, take it away.
All right. Here we go.
Wow. Chad, let me just go ahead and compliment you on your amazing ability to read Dove chocolates and interpret them properly.
Yeah, I'm going to eat more.
at least five before the next choice, so at least one of them will be relevant. Yes. this actually didn't turn out too badly. Chad,
yeah.
catch the listeners up.
Yeah, okay, so we get off the bike. And we go up to the man and the woman, and they're like, don't be afraid. We don't want to hurt you. We're your uncle's friends. You know, he wants you to come with us. And we're like, the hell? You just shot at me.
For real.
For real. And they're like, well, we didn't know who you were.
It was a mistake.
It was a mistake. Like, honest mistake. We're like, we point at like where the bullet grazed our arm. We're like,
right, like I've got shards of glass in my left arm.
Yeah, like fuck's going on. Yeah. You know. So anyway, then we see our Uncle Morgan in the back of the car.
It's definitely
Uncle him. He says that these two people, the man and the woman, work for him. He instructs us to stay out of it. Go home. Get back on our bike. Turn tail and run back to the house. But he's like covered in blood. He's like, don't worry about it. I didn't want to get involved. But the woman was like, actually, if you want to, we could actually probably use your help.
Like, we could really use you.
She clearly saw us on this sick car chase.
Yeah. She's like, whoa, that dude's got skills.
He took a bullet.
If he's that great at motorcycling, how wonderful must he be at nunchucks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mountain climbing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Expert
mountain climber. Also very good with science and shrinking.
Yeah. Flying spacecraft.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so that's the choice. If we get back on our bike and turn around, we turn to page 65. If we stay to help Uncle Morgan, we turn to page 68.
Look, Chad, I'm just going to lay it down right here.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Morgan is the only family we got.
Yeah, that's true.
Our parents are gone.
Mm-hmm.
We have no other relatives. Uncle Morgan is it.
So you're thinking we should turn tail and run?
No. No, Chad. What in any of that I just said would make you think that I'm going to leave my only relative to bleed to death in the back of this effing car? Nothing. You facetious bastard.
So you were to stay and help Uncle Morgan.
I feel like we need to. And I feel like I was really skeptical of these two people first because they were shooting at us.
Yeah.
But I think that they've quickly gained my trust from Uncle Morgan.
Morgan vouched for him.
Absolutely. But they immediately stepped out and were like, yo, sorry.
My bad.
Like, we did not
we
mean to do this.
We didn't know who you were.
Yeah.
You were chasing after us.
Here's what I think.
Yeah.
I think that had not the Dove chocolate interfered, we would have, and this is just me guessing, we would have ended up passing them by.
Potentially.
I felt very strongly about that.
Yeah.
Not to say that I can just sway you in any way that I choose, but I feel like it would have been the safer choice. For sure. So I think that since Dove sent us here, we can't just abandon.
We can't just ignore the Dove.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm with you.
And we can't just ignore our uncle either.
Yeah,
we
no. This whole time, I wanted to stay and help. I just wanted you to explain yourself more.
Thanks, Chad. Wow. Well,
it makes for a better podcast.
There you have it, folks. Chad is manipulating me to make for better entertainment. I hope you're happy because I don't know how I feel about it right now.
Okay. No, so we're going to stay and help Uncle Morgan. Like, I'm into the action. I've got a taste for it.
And it tastes good.
Tastes like chocolate.
And action. Chocolatey action.
Chocolatey action.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. I'm reading. Let's roll.
Let's do.
So this is getting real.
It's getting real real.
Okay, so we go with Uncle Morgan in the car. We get in the back. The guy said, there's a first aid kit. Like, take care of your uncle and keep an eye out for people who are following
us. Totally. And we're asking questions. Like, we want to know what's going on and nobody's like, given us
what's going
anything.
On? Who are you people? Why is our uncle stabbed?
Right.
Why are you driving a Maserati I've never seen?
They're like,
why did you shoot at me?
We'll tell you. Just keep your uncle alive.
Like, is anybody going back for my bike that I just left?
Right.
There?
We just abandoned that. First of all, that was a very selfless act.
Yeah. We are selfless. Cherik is.
Totally.
I'm not. Anyway.
One step at a time.
So we recognize that we're going to the yacht club.
We know the road.
We've been there many times.
Definitely. Uncle Morgan has a yacht.
However, it is the middle of winter. All the yachts are put away. None of them are actually, like, in the water. You know? So they're all kind of, like, up on land. And they're, like, hurry, we've got to get in the boat. We've got to launch the yacht right away.
First of all, at some point during this, we're going on this road, and it says it's a dead end.
It's a dead end road.
And so immediately I'm like, ah, shit, they're going to snuff us right here, right now. Like, mm-hmm. We made a bad choice. Thankfully, that didn't happen.
Not yet.
So they parked the car, and sure enough, over the hill comes another set of headlights.
Another set of headlights.
Someone
over
is
the hill.
Probably
definitely
still
following
us.
Could be Hank and Maxine.
Just could be. Could be the lonesome hobo. I highly doubt it.
It's probably not Fred.
Since it's the middle of winter, I doubt it's anybody coming for their boat. So, I mean, chances are it's someone coming for us.
With, like, malicious intent.
Right. So, yeah. Chad, what's our choice?
So, we know the yacht club better than them, we think. So, we probably could find a good hiding place, like, in another boat or, like, in a work shed. So, our choice, and so far, we've been pretty complacent and did whatever they said.
It's true.
So, our choice is, if we keep just, like, rolling with what they say and, like, go to Uncle Morgan's boat and launch it, we turn to page 11. But if we, like, speak up and kind of press our party to say, like, no, listen, I've got a better idea. We should go hide in the Johnson's boat.
The Johnsons. They got a good boat.
I made the Johnsons part up.
But they got a good boat.
They do. We're always trying to keep up with them.
A wah-wah.
That's the Joneses.
It's definitely the Joneses, but I got where you were going with that. I understood the correlation.
Anyway, so that's our choice. If we kind of like go with the flow, turn to page 11. If we speak up with our alternate plan, turn to page 71.
Can I just like pontificate for a moment?
Yeah.
I feel like it's the dead of winter.
Sure.
The boats aren't ready to be launched.
The car
is coming over the hill right now. Like, it cannot be that far away, right?
And I'm imagining this yacht is quite large.
Right. And I mean, I can only imagine how many, like, launching duties there are, right? Like, it's going to take us 15 minutes to get this boat ready to launch if it's been packed away for the winter. At least.
At least.
And if it's got sails, if it's a sailboat, we're just extra screwed. So I don't think these people really understand what it's going to take to get this boat launched immediately. I think we should absolutely step in and be like, look, let's do this.
What if there is something hiding on the boat that would be of service? Like weapons. It is our uncle's boat.
Well, that's true. And I guess even
if
we aren't
get
able
it in
to
the water,
launch,
it's
we
like
can
familiar surroundings.
Yeah, and we can hide in it.
They would probably think to look at his boat immediately.
Do they know that he has a boat?
Probably.
So many things we don't know. Here's what I think.
We've been given a lot of details, but not the details we need.
That's something in every one of these books. It's like there are so many extra details that would be so nice to have for making these decisions. I just feel like even worst case scenario, we speak up and they're like, screw you, kid. We're going to do this. And we're like, okay, we're trying to tell you, whatever, do whatever you want, you know. Like, what?
You feel like we should speak our minds.
I feel like we need to. I think it's about time that we actually stepped in and tried to really help this endeavor.
Okay. I can get behind it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think I'm with you. Like, going to our own boat and trying to launch it seems like just something that was not going to go well.
I feel like it's a pipe dream, man. I think that if we go hide somewhere... And maybe these people will leave.
Like, if it was already in the water.
Right. Ready to launch.
Different
great.
Story.
Absolutely. 100%. Like, if it was right there ready to go, we could just jump in and, you know, motor out of there. But.
Yeah.
No, I think that we should speak up.
Okay. I'm with you.
All right.
Yeah.
Mind if I take back over?
Go ahead.
Okay.
We're turning to... Page, well, not actually turning. I was on 70, and now we're turning to 71. It's the same page. I kind of already can see 71, but I didn't want to sway your decision by my foresight.
But did that sway your decision?
No, I was just trying to stay out of it a little bit.
Okay, well, that's silly. Come on, book.
Yeah, like, don't send us to the very
next
page.
Right, like, it's right there.
I can read that. I can see it.
Just tell me it's not the end.
It's not the end.
Okay. Then here we go.
Here we go. 71.
Okay. Well, so that wasn't one of our better decisions. it seemed like such a solid plan.
It seemed like a solid plan.
So...
catch him up, Eric. Like,
folks, we go to the sail loft where we know where the special secret hidden key is.
Yeah.
And we unlock the loft and we go in there, and there's this amazing boat called the Todo Mio, which is a 53-foot cruiser of old design.
It's beautiful.
We have always loved it. Cherik has been a huge admirer.
Maple. Like speed though.
I guess for the 6 months we've been there, we've just been like drooling over this thing. Maybe that's why we just wanted to go in there. Do we just want to look at it? Is that what led us astray?
That would be a very selfish
thing. We were like, oh, we'll just go hide in our favorite boat and it'll be perfect.
Yeah.
See, details we didn't know. Anyway, we get inside, we scramble up on the deck, we are dismayed to find that the door to the cabin is locked. Which makes a lot of sense now that we think about that. Like, owners of their boats would probably lock up their boats for the wintertime season in case people come in and steal things. Like,
also true.
We didn't really take that into effect. But anyway, we don't really know what to do. Noise is running out. The car parks. Foreign voices are heard. Uncle Morgan's like, I'm sorry, it's all over. I tried to keep you out of this. And you're like, what? What? Tell me. And he's like, I tried to keep this part of my life separate, but... And then a bunch of gunfire rings out.
Yeah, they burst in.
They burst in.
Shots ring.
Just started firing back and forth. And before we know it, the entire sail... what am I trying to say? What is the word that they use? The entire place is just a burning inferno. We burnt to a crisp.
We literally burnt to death.
We died in
a fiery blaze. Of gunfire and actual flames.
Oh, with the sail loft. That's what I was looking for. Okay. We were burnt to a crisp in the sail loft. Or who knows, maybe we were shot in the head first. We could have had a very quick, painless death.
Let's hope so.
Well,
so this happens.
That didn't go well, and sometimes that does happen. But don't worry, folks, because we have a plan.
Yeah. So
just before we burnt to a crisp... And died and had no more breath to breathe, we hit the button. What button did we hit, Chad?
The respawn button.
The respawn button.
It's a button that lets us respawn.
All right, we're responding now to back to our choice that we made and died on, which I'm really sorry. Like, I feel like I really kind of championed that choice.
That's fine.
We're going to trust our companions. And go with Uncle Morgan and help them launch a boat by turning to page 11.
Yeah, they seem like professionals.
Yeah, I'm going to hand this back to Chad, and hopefully this goes better than it just did. Chad.
Yeah.
Chad.
Yes.
Chad.
I feel like this all really started with listening to the Dove Chocolate.
How did we find ourselves here? Like, we were doing so good.
I feel like Cherrick's a drug smuggler.
Well, he's certainly becoming one. Good Lord.
Okay, let's catch the people up.
All right, it is pretty epic. I'm not going to lie. Epic. Like, I was giggling with excitement.
Okay, so we run to the boat. It's a 35-foot cigarette boat, and it is fast.
And it's, like, red and white.
Red and white striped.
Speedboaty, not inconspicuous
at
all.
So we get in the boat, and we launch it just as the car is coming into the parking lot.
Yeah.
We're on the water. We're zooming 40 knots and climbing, running lights off.
Yeah.
Like, we're gone.
Killing it.
Killing it. And we pull up to this, like, large, ominous-looking, like, craft who's, like, sitting out in the water, also with its lights
like
off.
A big gray yacht.
Like a big gray yacht. And they pull all of us aboard. Just as they do that, searchlights from a helicopter shine down on the boat. Guess who it is? U.S. Coast Guard. And they're like, prepare for boarding, don't move. And you're like, what the fuck is happening?
Seriously, we are so bewildered.
Like, we just got home, there was blood, there was a dagger, we got on a car chase. Like, you're in a Maserati I've never seen, like, my uncle's bleeding, the fuck's going on?
And then they're like, don't anyone move. And what does everyone start doing?
They just like dumping packages off the boat. They're
chucking
the water.
Everything over the side. And it's like, oh, that's not sketchy at all.
Not even a little bit.
What are you doing?
And then the Coast Guard, like an armed Coast Guard boat pulls up. We're surrounded. They're like,
Two more copters.
You're like, you're all under arrest.
Right.
And our uncle's like, don't worry, I'll explain about it later. The end.
We don't get to know anything.
We get to know nothing.
We get to know
nothing.
Absolutely nothing. I of all of the stories so far, this is the one that I wanted to find out what was really going on.
Like, I wanted this to be so much of, like, a super cool, like, murder mystery where we're, like, discovering, like, a bunch of clues, you know, and we're, like, figuring shit out, like
now,
Batman.
Man, like, maybe if we'd gone back to the house, we would have.
Maybe.
But we'll never know.
We'll never know.
We'll never know, because we chose to chase, and then we chose to go to the dock, and then we chose to die in a blaze of glory.
At least we're not physically dead at the end of this.
That's true.
We're
and apparently, Uncle Morgan has got everything under control.
Well, I think he's going to fill us in about he was smuggling drugs. And that's where his riches came from.
Maybe you're just thinking really pessimistically.
Maybe I should be more like Dove.
Maybe you should be more like Dove.
Be more optimistic. No, maybe what the chocolate was all of talking about all along.
I can't really think of many optimistic reasons for why people are chucking things over the side of the boat. But
Boston Tea Party? That was more like protest.
True.
They threw things over the side
of
the boat.
That's very true. So maybe they're just a bunch of Coast Guard protesters. And not because of the legal stuff, just because they were just like, haha, you told us to stay.
We're not going to. Because we don't bow down to your authority.
Yeah, okay. Coast Guard. Have fun fishing this stuff out of the bottom of the bay.
Oh, yeah, you wanted this? Yeah. Fucking get it out of the water.
Great. You know, it's going to be right there for you. We're not actually moving it very far away at all, but it's going to make it a little bit just that much more difficult.
It's like paying a speeding ticket in all pennies.
Totally.
You know, like, you're still abiding by the law, but
we didn't do that, though.
Being a super pain in the ass.
Yeah, they're going to get extra time for that. We're going to be fine.
We'll be fine. We're just like, I have no idea.
Seriously,
None. Dude,
we'll take a lie detector test and be like, I don't know.
Here's what happened.
I don't know.
I came home.
I don't know.
Dagger, car chase, car, bandaged my uncle, got in a boat, got arrested.
Abandoned my motorcycle. Should have stayed with it.
Like, can you guys go get my motorcycle?
Right. It's probably
it's
run
probably
over by
probably super sweet. Somebody's probably already stolen it.
True. Even though it doesn't have a left mirror, still a sweet-ass motorcycle.
Very true.
Yeah.
Well.
All right. So that didn't end quite like I would have liked.
No, but I mean, I think I'm overall, like, happy with our read.
I mean, I think it was an epic story.
It was a great story.
Definitely one that I would want to go back and read again. Yeah. So seriously, listeners, if you guys check out this book, let us know what happens.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Like, I think we talked about this last time a little bit. Or maybe, yeah, I think it was last time. Like, we don't go back and reread these things without you.
So I'm just going to keep living my life not knowing really what Uncle Morgan was up to.
Yeah, because we don't want Cherrick to have outside knowledge that you, the listener, would not also have.
Totally,
so,
yeah. He's going through these experiences firsthand.
It's up to you guys to maybe fill us in. And if you send us, like, your version of what happened, maybe we'll share that.
Definitely, yeah.
On a future podcast for everyone to know.
Even though Cherrick is a time-traveling warlock, he's not necessarily privy to alternate dimensions.
Like, he exists in one dimension.
For sure, yeah.
We're not
he's not omnipotent.
No, we can't travel to different Earths where we made different choices.
Yeah.
We can only go back to the previous choice.
Only.
It's the extent of our power.
And that's why we're stuck here, because we took both of our choices to the end.
Yeah. Any last remarks?
I guess, you know, like, there's not really a whole lot of deep things to really discuss about this one. It's very much a chase story, a mystery chase story.
Yeah.
That we'll just have to leave hanging.
Yeah, I think I'll leave everybody with, I did eat another Dove chocolate.
Surprise!
And I think I'll just leave you all with this one remark.
Hit us.
Hit
us with the Dove.
Here it is. Get swept away by love.
OMG.
So we'll leave you with that until next time.
Next week when Cherrick finds a mate.
I've been Chad.
And I am still Eric.
And we're
Cherrick.
Until next time, people.
Later.
Peace.